And here's what's important. It's important to see that Paul is not saying that it's easy to know contentment when you're flush with cash. Okay, there are some here tonight, you are struggling financially. You're here, you're making it paycheck to paycheck, and you're doing what you can to make it right now. And there are some of you here in this room that you haven't worried about your personal or family finances for some time. And the danger in having contentment related to money is that when you are content because of your money, you're actually not content at all according to the Scriptures. Because he's saying, I've been through seasons where I was flush with cash, and I've been through seasons where I didn't even know where my next meal was coming from, and I have learned to be content in this. You see, if contentment is related to money and not to God, I mean, Jesus himself said, you can't serve mammon and God both. Choose who you will serve. So this is really all about where are we deriving our joy, that inner contentment and purpose from. And I couldn't think of a better way to illustrate this. I'm sure there is. But if you can just imagine this cup up here that I'm holding. If this is your joy, this is the joy of the Lord. And He is your strength. And that's what this cup represents. A lot of times what happens is things take the place of joy in our lives and that inner contentment and purpose that we have in Christ. And when they do, what happens is we take things, material things. And what we do is we try to add joy on top of them. But that's not how God planned it. And plus, it doesn't work this way. And I kind of like to think about it like this is what God's telling us. You have joy, and you're going to have seasons where you're flush with things, where you're flush with cash, and you're going to have seasons where you're barely making it, not knowing where your next dollar is going to come from. And that's the seasons of life. But the seasons of life can't be dictated by those things, and they won't be dictated by those things as long as your stuff is in your joy, and your joy is not in your stuff. See, if you put your stuff in your joy, then it's all good. You see, that the stuff in your life, or the lack thereof, is not going to determine the joy, the amount of joy that you have in your life. Instead, it's put in its right perspective. So whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through in the one who makes me who I am. And the final point is this. I simply call it God's supply and our demands. Listen to this really encouraging passage in verse 19. And my God, so after he talks about you have shared in my trouble, you have provided for me, and you've done this, you've given to me sacrificially. He says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, this passage is so encouraging. And I believe that what Paul is saying here is multifaceted. And I just want to unpack it a little bit if I can. But the more and more I've just sort of let this passage marinate in my heart, there is something about when you take care of the needs of others and God taking care of you, being generous with people who are in need. And may I just go ahead and say, even being generous with ministry needs. Paul had a ministry, and the Philippians was this church that contributed and supported Paul in this ministry. And the apostle turns around and he says, and God's going to supply all of your needs according to his riches. Look, I think when we're generous as people, as believers and Christians, God's going to supply our needs according to his riches and glory. But I think there's something else here, and I just have to say this passage, as I was thinking about it, gave me an illustration that I don't know that I've ever sensed before or seen quite in this way. And it was this word supply. Now, I realize that I'm going to kind of be taking a leap here as far as an illustration. That's why I'm calling it helped me see this as an illustration. But you guys are all familiar because, well, we live in America. You're familiar with one of the backbones of our economic structure is the supply and demand. Is supply and demand. This sort of economic law, if you would, that says if there is a high demand for something and a low supply for something, that creates a great amount of value in that object. If there is a high supply and a low demand, the object becomes virtually worthless. And so you kind of have this. We all understand this, kind of how our economy functions. And as I was thinking about this passage about God supplying our needs, I just couldn't help but to think, I wonder if our economy has impacted our Christianity more than the Word of God has. Because we are surrounded with things of God. We have more Bible translations and Bibles available to us today here in the States than they've ever had in the history of mankind. We have more church services today that you can attend than we've ever had in the history of mankind. You have access to free materials that are unprecedented. On my phone right here, I could pull up hundreds of dollars. I mean, dare I say thousands of dollars in Bible knowledge stuff that we could read right now on the greatest commentaries of Scripture that have ever been born. We have so much supply, but it broke my heart when I thought we have so much supply, but so little demand on God. And has that economic law caused our perspective about God to be devalued to the point that some consider Him worthless? It's everywhere, but there's no demand. And that has caused people to think He's worthless. But I want to encourage you with this. It only takes a slight shift in perspective to see the check God gives against this kind of thinking. You see, when we think and we see our spiritual lives as hopeless and in utter darkness unless God fills the void, then God becomes the only thing that can satisfy. So if we see our spiritual lives as completely shattered and broken and empty, unless God is our object, then the worth of God becomes great. But then what I love about this passage is that Paul says, "And my God will supply every need of yours." You see, the thing is, when the demand for God goes up in your life, the supply of God is infinite. And you might be here tonight, and you might be completely content with your life. Let me change that. Maybe you're not content. Maybe you're complacent, and you're satisfied with the way your life is. And this is not about your stuff. This is about a lack of growing in God in your life. You've just kind of stagnated, and you're complacent. In other words, there's low demand for Him in your life. There's no need for Him in your life. What's happened is there's been a replacement. And it's like, I kind of got this picture that perhaps some of us are living off of spiritual junk food instead of the real deal, infinite presence of the living God in our lives. I heard a story once about a man who took a 5-carat diamond, flawless diamond, and he wrapped it in a used cheeseburger wrapper for an experiment. He took this wrapper, the diamond wrapped in the cheeseburger wrapper, and he threw it out on the street. And he watched this wrapper as an experiment to see who would stop and check out this junk, basically. And as he watched for a couple hours, he came to a conclusion. The conclusion was only two kinds of people stop to search through a used cheeseburger wrapper: children and homeless people. And he concluded that unless you're a child, an inquisitive child, that just wants to go through something without any fear of what it would look like or how dirty you might get, you're not going to go for that cheeseburger wrapper. But if you're a person looking for their next meal, you don't care where it comes from, you're going to go for the wrapper because there might be something in it. And when I heard that story, I thought, you know, that's just like, I feel like that's like this passage. The people who are filled up with joy are the people who have childlike faith and hungry for Him. The people who have childlike faith and hungry for Him aren't satisfied with just the motions of Christianity as a substitute for Him. You see, when our demand for Him, when our hunger for Him grows, He has an infinite supply of His glorious riches that He can pour into your life. So in some ways, this is a complete reversal of supply and demand the way we know it, because there is an infinite amount of His presence and His strength available to you. I mean, if God Himself told you you can make it through anything and it wasn't true, then God is a liar. But He said no matter what you go through, no matter where you are or what you have, if your joy is in Him, His strength can get you through. And His supply is infinite if our demand for Him is hungry and simple like that of a child. To me, I was convicted, you know, reading this passage, because I know that I've been impacted by our culture. But we've got to stand against some of that common tide of culture and say, you know what? No, we're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're going to come to Him simply like a child. Our faith doesn't have to be overly complex. I mean, it certainly can be studied for a lifetime and it's inexhaustible. But yet God is just asking us to come to Him like a child and say, you know what? I believe You for great things. So if you want joy in spite of your stuff tonight, my challenge to you is keep your faith simple and keep your heart hungry for Him. I want to encourage you tonight to ask yourself, how are you doing on your contentment quotient in your life? Are you content? Do things have you, or are they in your joy? And maybe there's something you need to release to Him and say, no, I've lost a hunger for God and it's been replaced by something. And I want to encourage you tonight to make the right choices, to learn the right things about God to help you be content in your life. Tonight, I'd like us to close around your tables, having some time to pray with one another around your tables. Why don't you take a few moments now and go around. If you'd like to make some sort of application from the Scriptures tonight, share that with your table and let your table pray for you. If you have a prayer need in your life, I want to encourage you to share that and let the brothers and sisters around you now pray for you and encourage you to keep strong in God. Thanks.